Hello, everyone. You're listening to Advanced Studio Classroom, and my name is Brandon. Today we begin day two of our Newsworthy Clips article, and back in the studio I have Josh and Linda. Welcome, panelists.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. Good to be back.
Josh, what did we talk about yesterday?
Oh, we talked about so many different things yesterday.
Yes, we did.
But mainly we talked about how Siemens, which is a multinational corporation, is bringing high-tech solutions to our everyday existence.
That's right. And what was one of the things yesterday, Linda, that you would maybe find most useful?
Oh, I didn't know you were going to say useful. I thought you were going to say things I found most interesting, which would be the hybrid e-aircraft.
You don't think it's useful, maybe, but it is interesting.
Yeah, well, this, they said they plan to market by 2030, so we have to wait a while. So
yeah,
it's not going to be immediately useful.
And I think Josh mentioned something yesterday that will be of interest to most people. Maybe this could save us money as well.
Yeah, maybe, if we don't have to use as much fuel, then the cost of being able to fly in an airplane can be greatly reduced.
Yes, and we also talked about smart cities, the idea of using technology in cities to make everything more efficient and cost-effective, and devices working together, and it's really, you know, we're used to thinking of devices working together, but this is on a much larger scale.
It's true. I think yesterday you identified that one day you will be able to replace your ice cream without even having to go to the store.
That's my dream. Mm-hmm. I hope so. Yes, my refrigerator will communicate with Amazon or some other company to let them know that I am out of ice cream, and then when I get home from work, the ice cream is there in the freezer or on my front doorstep in some refrigerated package so it doesn't melt. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That would be awesome. But we talked a lot about these high-tech things that are going on with Siemens, and we tried to unpack that. It was a lot. Maybe you are interested in a specific topic that we discussed yesterday. Today, we are also talking about technology, but we are moving on to scanning technology. What does the title of today's article say, Linda?
This company's scanning technology is a smuggler's nightmare.
Okay. So we know what scanning technology is. We experience that when we go to the airport, right? There's scanning technology there. They are trying to see if there's anything in your suitcase that should not be there, right? And they will quickly tell you, usually, if there is something there that should be there. But when we're talking about a smuggler, what are we referring to?
So a smuggler is somebody who is trying to move either things illegally, so illegal substances that shouldn't be there, or is trying to get things from place to place without telling anybody.
Right. Okay. So this technology could hinder them, hopefully, from doing that. So if you have your magazines, open it up to page 33, and we're going to talk much more about this today. If you have your digital device, you can follow along right now as well, and we'll have our first reading for today.
This company's scanning technology is a smuggler's nightmare. At Decision Sciences International Corp's headquarters, a 20-foot shipping container sits beneath a car wash-size scanner. After about a minute, images of the container's contents pop up on a TV screen, complete with a color-coded identification of the objects based on how they interact with naturally occurring subatomic particles. There's ammunition, firearms, TNT, alcohol, and currency inside. If shielded nuclear material were in the container, the company's technology would identify it too, said Chief Executive Dwight Johnson. The company is one of a handful of firms working on new technology to better scan cargo containers, which became a priority after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. These new systems aim to push beyond today's passive radiation detection and active high-energy X-ray-based scanning, which do well uncovering smuggled nuclear material, but aren't as good at finding narcotics, guns, and other conventional contraband. The real bottleneck in the existing systems is if you find an anomaly, your only option without materials identification is to devan the cargo, and that can take hours and cost a lot of money, said Robert Ledoux, chief executive of Massachusetts-based Passport Systems.
Okay, so we talk about the first company here discussed in this article, Decision Sciences International. And we're at their headquarters, and we're taking a look at this car wash size scanner. So you can think about a car that's big, right, and a car wash. You have to, you know, wash your car there. So we just get an idea of how big exactly this scanner is.
Right. So I think, like you said before, a lot of the scanners that people are used to are the type of scanners that they would put in an airport. Mm-hmm. So you put your luggage on a conveyor belt and it goes underneath a machine. So it's the same principle or the same mm-hmm. type of machine, only this machine, instead of being, you know, that box that you put your luggage through, is the size of a car wash. So something that you could easily put not just your car through, but a semi-truck or a shipping container through.
Okay, and how long does it take for images to start coming up on the screen?
About a minute.
Okay, and so it gives us a complete view here with a color-coded identification of the objects based on how they interact with naturally occurring subatomic particles. We're getting very scientific here. What is a subatomic particle?
So a subatomic particle, it's a specialized term here. We see it's a very small piece of matter, such as a proton, neutron, or electron, that's found inside an atom. So an atom is sort of the building block of a lot of different materials. But an atom itself is made up of subatomic particles. So these are smaller particles that put together will then make an atom.
Okay. And we see here some of the things that are there. Ammunition, bullets, for example, firearms, and then TNT.
So TNT is an explosive material, and people often say dynamite or mm-hmm. use dynamite and TNT interchangeably.
Okay, there's also alcohol and currency inside. And so a lot of things there that, you know, would show up on, you know, if you're in the airport, of course, you can't have firearms or ammunition and TNT and so forth. And so they're testing these items with the scanner.
And also at the airport, you're not supposed to have alcohol unless you paid taxes on it or even liquid of any kind or too much currency. Right.
That's right.
So if you have too much in cash on you, people are going to look at that strangely.
What about nuclear material? Wow. That sounds scary. What if it's shielded? What if, you know, they're trying to cover it up? Would it be able to detect that as well, Linda?
Yes, they would.
Okay. So the company's technology, they would be able to identify even nuclear material. This is according to the chief executive, Dwight Johnson. So the company is one of a handful of firms working on what?
So this would be new technology to better scan cargo containers.
Okay, and cargo, that's, if you have a cargo container, that would be on a ship or maybe on a plane or something like that, and those are the goods carried there in the container. And this has really become a focus after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. There's been even more of a focus on scanning technology and so forth because they're trying to prevent another attack like that.
Sure. I think, you know, historically, ports have always been controlled to the best of their ability because people have always tried to move things through ports that they shouldn't. But usually they're illegal things like, you know, guns or stuff that people haven't paid taxes on. But it's different when you're talking about you know, really damaging explosive items that could cause a lot of death. And that is a new layer of concern that I think really started becoming real after the 2011 terrorist attacks.
All right. What is the goal, though? What do we see about the aim here?
Well, these new systems, they want to push beyond today's passive radiation detection and active high-energy X-ray-based scanning.
Okay, so first we're talking about passive radiation detection, and there are different ways to detect something, right? And so the first one is passive. When we think about something being passive, it's kind of, you know, it's not something you if you're active, you take initiative, right? Mm-hmm. It's maybe earlier in the process here would be active detection, but later in the process may be called passive. And so what do we mean really by passive radiation detection?
Well, it's a good question. Like you said, so passive is kind of like when someone is passive, they sort of like sit around and wait for things to happen to them. When someone is active, they actively do things in order to sort of interact with their environment around them. When we're talking about these types of systems, a passive system would be a system that depends on background radiation and detecting the way that items inside the shipping container interact with background radiation, where an active system would be like an X-ray scanner. So if you go into the doctor, get an X-ray of your bones, you sit underneath a machine that actively broadcasts X-rays at you and then can tell what those X-rays pass through and gives a picture of your skeleton without having to, you know, open up your skin, right? So an X-ray system would be an example of an active system. A passive system would then be a system that used background naturally occurring radiation and would be able to tell different things about items inside of a container depending on how it interacts with naturally occurring background radiation.
Okay, so this technology is already in place. And it says here that using this type of technology, they can uncover smuggled nuclear material, but they're not as good at finding other types of items.
Right, such as narcotics, which are illegal drugs like cocaine and heroin, guns, other conventional contraband. And contraband are goods that are illegally brought in and out of a country.
All right, so they want to work on finding these types of things, narcotics, guns, and contraband and so forth, other conventional contraband. Okay, so the real bottleneck in the existing systems is if you find an anomaly. So a bottleneck, I usually think of traffic, right? If there's a bottleneck, that means there's something that's slowing things down, right? And so there's something here slowing down the process.
Right. So if you think about what happens at an airport when your luggage goes through a scanner and someone finds something that looks like it shouldn't be there or an anomaly, something that isn't usual, the only thing they can do is they have you step aside with your suitcase and take everything apart in order to be able to take a look at what's inside to make sure that there isn't anything there that shouldn't be there. This has actually happened to me maybe a handful of times. And, of course, every single time there wasn't anything there that shouldn't be there, but you still have to pull everything apart in order to check it. Well, if you imagine one cargo ship that could have literally thousands upon thousands of these shipping containers, scanning each individual one, if you find anything that looks like it shouldn't be there, you have to unpack everything and take a look at it, which takes, it's a lot of stuff.
They use that word devan there, and that's, they're talking about unloading a container. And so that would be really troublesome. You know, you have to keep doing that. So they want to upgrade the technology so they can find these things more easily without going through all of that trouble. And it can take a lot of time and even a lot of money.
Right. So this is something that they would want to avoid having to do.
Okay, so they want to come up with something that's more cost effective. You know, yesterday we talked about Siemens and all the things that they're doing, smart cities and so forth. It's all about being efficient and cost effective. And here as well, they want something that is efficient and cost effective.
It's true. And if you think about just the volume of materials or items that's brought normally in and out of ports as a regular part of a business and economy, you can see that we're talking about a huge scale of things.
That's right. Okay, well, we have more to learn about all of this, so let's go to our last reading for today.
Passport systems identifies guns, drugs, and other contraband based on their atomic number, a measure of their density. But it still uses high-energy X-rays in its scanning process. Decision Sciences' scanning technique is passive. It doesn't use X-ray beams to create three-dimensional images or identify what's in a container. It tracks naturally occurring subatomic particles called muons, as well as electrons, to call out a container's contents. Muons are like electrons, but heavier, with 200 times the mass. They're also very short-lived. But when they hit something, they deflect in a particular way, giving clues as to what the material is. Decision Sciences thinks more containers can be scanned faster with its technology. While the company is focused on cargo containers at ports for now, it sees the potential to expand into other industries, such as sporting event security or protecting critical infrastructure.
Okay, so passport systems, we see here that they're able to identify guns, drugs, and other contraband based on their atomic number. So again, here, this is all very scientific. So they're measuring the density.
Yeah, so if everyone can kind of recall maybe some of their classes from high school to the periodic table of elements, each element has a very specific atomic number or atomic weight, which relates to its density. So here, passport systems is using high-energy X-rays to beam through different materials that it can tell what those materials are made out of by how dense it is,
okay,
or what their atomic number is.
All right. And then we're going back to Decision Sciences, okay? So that's the company we talked about there in the very beginning. Decision Sciences' scanning technique is passive. And so we talked about the difference between passive and active earlier. Mostly we described what it means to be passive. But here, their technique, they use the passive technique. And so what does it not do?
Right, so it doesn't use X-ray beams to create a three-dimensional image or to identify what's in the container. So when we talked about the active scanning, they would use high-energy X-ray X-rays to create the image. So here they're not doing that. Instead, they're tracking naturally occurring subatomic particles called muons.
Okay, as well as electrons, and they're doing this to call out a container's contents. Now, Josh, I believe you know something about this. What are muons?
Well, so this is all part of that using background radiation in order to be able to detect what's inside a container. So here they talk about muons, as well as electrons, as naturally occurring particles or subatomic particles that they can use to detect what's inside of something. So a muon is, like it says, it's a particle that is similar to an electron that's really created when cosmic radiation runs into particles in the atmosphere, and then it breaks apart atoms and creates these muons, which then can be detected using the decision sciences system.
Okay. All right. And muons are heavier, right? It says 200 times the mass. And, of course, mass is talking about the matter in an object. And they're also very short-lived. So why does that matter?
Well, it's a kind of a description of the process of what happens when these photons run into particles in the atmosphere. So they create these muons much denser than electrons that have a very particular half-life, so their only existence for a certain amount of time that's easy to measure. Now, it says here that they are very short-lived, but because they're traveling so fast, there is more than enough time for detectors to use them in order to figure out what's inside of a container.
Okay, and then when they hit something, they deflect in a particular way. Deflect means they change direction, which gives clues to what the material is. And so this is just describing the process that they are using. So decision sciences, they think more containers can be scanned faster with its technology. And so we'll have to see. It says they think it will. So we'll see if it actually happens.
Right. One of the questions I had about the passport systems. Now, passport systems, you remember, they also kind of do the same thing but using X-rays. So they beam X-rays at something, and then depending upon how the X-rays interact with the materials inside, they can tell what those materials are made out of, how dense they are. But what I didn't get a real idea of was if it's making, like, we're all familiar with the X-rays that we see at the doctors, and it makes a two-dimensional image, right? And then the doctors have to look at those images and kind of be able to tell what's going on, even though it represents something that exists in 3D. So I'm not really sure how the passport system's images is created, if it's 3D or 2D. But what I would imagine is that they have to, because they're using these X-rays, they would have to use a lot of emitters in order to be able to cover a large area, which could probably take more time, whereas the decision sciences use radiation that's already naturally occurring everywhere. So fairly quickly, they can get a 3D image. And it does say after about a minute, right, that they can get a pretty good 3D representation of what's inside. So it does seem like this really has potential for quickly moving through a lot of material and being able to tell at least a significant amount of information about what's inside.
Okay, and so that speed up the process, and that will help the world move faster, I guess.
Right.
In a sense. So the company is focusing on cargo containers right now. They're at ports and so forth, so when those containers come in on ships, that's what they're focusing on right now. But they see the potential for more.
Right, to expand into other industries, such as sporting event security. So they could use this at stadiums, you know, to scan people coming through to make sure they don't have any illegal substances or firearms or explosives, and also protecting critical infrastructure.
And maybe if this technology could be used in more places, if it's not too expensive and you can do it quickly, then that would help to cut down on some terrorist attacks or some other kind of illegal behavior.
Well, plus, you know, you can't. So let's say you wanted to use an X-ray system in a sports stadium, right? That means that you would basically have to shoot everyone with X-rays before they go to see a game or a concert. And, of course, we know that exposing yourself to too many X-rays is for too long will cause cancer.
Yeah.
Right? So that's not really an option.
Right.
But here, if they could use this kind of system in order to just using the natural background radiation that we all run into every day to run through a scanner quickly in order to be able to tell if somebody has something on them that they shouldn't. I don't know if you guys remember back in at the beginning, I think, of 2017 or midway through the Ariana Grande concert where they had someone, you know, a suicide bomber walk into a stadium and set off an explosive that ended up killing many young people, that something like that would be an easy, quick way in order to be able to detect those things before they got into the stadium. So it really could be a very powerful, quick detection system that could be very helpful in the future.
Could be life-saving.
Exactly.
Right? So that's exciting to hear about and to think about. And, you know, we're often, you know, going through airports, right? And we're used to that kind of technology. And so, you know, I want to ask our panelists, as we're talking about this topic, what are some issues that you have seen, maybe when you have gone through some of those scanners and so forth? And, you know, maybe this technology could help prevent some of that.
Well, maybe just being in the line, like having to wait in line, this technology would make it faster. You know, maybe we wouldn't have to, you know, take off our shoes, you know, take off our belts, our, you know, and all of our luggage, put it on a separate conveyor belt. We might just be able to walk with everything through the scanner and, you know, it would take much less time.
Right.
That would be huge. And it would also help some bottleneck situations. There was one time when I was traveling back to the United States and I was coming off an all-night flight. I was very tired and I'd actually already gone through numerous security checks, but then from the plane into customs in the United States, you go straight from the plane in through another security check without like any chance to do anything in between. And I had forgotten to take my laptop out of my bag. Ooh. And I just put it through the scanner. But because it was still in the bag, they made me take it all out, and then they took out everything and then did like the individual like wiping of stuff, and they got some sort of false positive. So I ended up being there for like an hour,
no.
The pat down in front of everybody and everything. Yeah. Of course, they never found anything, and things were totally fine. But I almost missed my connecting flight because of it. And so it would be wonderful if they had some sort of scanning technology where you could literally just walk through with all of your stuff, and everybody would be confident. They would be able to get quick and accurate results without having to go through any of that.
Right. And it would be nice if you just, when you step into the airport, it just can pick up any problems. And then, you know, we talked about smart cities. You can have a smart airport. As soon as you walk in, it somehow scans you through the Internet of Things, and it knows if you have something, you shouldn't, and so forth. That would be nice. Maybe one day. Well, we are out of time for day two of our Newsworthy Clips article. We thank you so much for joining us here on Advanced Studio Classroom, and we hope you will come back tomorrow for day three. Until then, this is Brandon,
Linda,
and Josh
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.